Hey, this is Daniel Garber at the movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Toronto's Jewish Film Festival is on now and continues through the weekend. This is the first year I've attended their movies, my curiosity sparked by the fact that they programmed Fritz the Cat last year. Intriguing. This year, the festival is featuring an extensive series of films and documentaries about the three Lennies: composer and conductor Leonard Bernstein, Montreal musician and writer Leonard Cohen, and comedian from the 60s, Lenny Bruce. But what I really find interesting were the rest of the movies program. There's a diversity to them in geography, history, language spoken, politics, all around. That's refreshing. So today I'm going to talk about a few of the fascinating and very good films at this year's festival. First, Little Rosa, or Rozhka, directed by Jan Kidiwa Blonsky, a movie from Poland. So Rozek, played by Robert Wickiewicz, is a hard-boiled intelligence agent working for the Polish government in 1967. He's always up for a hard drink or a fist fight, but he's spotted having a passionate sexual liaison with a beautiful young woman. Word is sent to the department that there is to be a purge of Jews or suspected Jews throughout Poland. There's a historical movie following Israel's victory in the 1967 war. So he's assigned to bring down a mark, Adam, a prominent writer and intellectual in the 60s. Although his name is Polish-sounding, they suspect his father had a Jewish-sounding name. So Rozek assigns his beautiful, naive lover, Kamila, the one he was caught having sex with, played by Magdalena Bojarska, now with the code name Rozhka, Little Rose, to get close to Adam and report back anything that could be taken as Jewish, anti-governmental, conspiratorial, or Zionist. But even as she writes the reports, her feelings for Adam grow, as does her anger at Rozek for pimping her out. So as she grows even closer to Adam, played by Andrei Severin, the three sides of this unwitting love triangle in this historical dramatic thriller come to an inevitable explosion during a time of European unrest, youth demonstrations, nationalist sentiment, and a government crackdown. This is an intriguing, visually sophisticated story full of surprising secrets chronicling unexpected changes in Poland in the 1960s. Next, Acne, directed by Federico Veroge. In this cute, low-budget film from Montevideo, Uruguay, Rafael, played by Alejandro Tokar, is a 13-year-old pimple-faced boy who has a crush on a girl. But he has yet to approach her, tell her what he feels, never mind kiss her. And he's totally at a loss of what to do sexually with a girl. He's 13, remember. This is where it gets, shall we say, interesting. Apparently, in this insular Uruguayan Jewish community, it is customary to introduce boys to manhood by hiring a tutor, actually a prostitute, to initiate him into the adult world. Will he ever talk to the girl of his dreams, and where will he go now? Acne gives a fascinating glimpse of everyday urban life in a world I've never even heard of before this movie. Next, another unusual movie, an animated film from another distinctly different area, this time China. The movie is A Jewish Girl in Shanghai, directed by Wang Gunfa. So Ah Gun, a boy who works for a street vendor who fries big oily pancakes, meets a starving and penniless red-haired girl with almond-shaped eyes named Rina on the streets of Shanghai. So Rina is a refugee from Nazi Germany, but is living in Shanghai with her little brother. She doesn't know what happened to her parents, but remembers them by playing a song her violinist mother wrote. So the movie shows the two friends' adventures, set in wartime Shanghai in the late 30s, early 40s, when Europeans, including a sizable Jewish community and a very large Japanese population and local Chinese people, all living together in that cosmopolitan city. So tough Ah Gun has to deal with Japanese street thugs and soldiers and corrupt Chinese collaborators during the war, and his own family difficulties. While pretty Rina must survive, continue to play her violin, find food to eat, and hopefully to reunite her family and find out what became of her missing parents. This is a fully animated movie similar to Japanese anime, aimed mainly at small kids and teenagers, but also lovers of anime. it's very interesting to see a Chinese view of the Jews of Shanghai and references to the Holocaust. So in this movie, Rina's European memories look like Heidi in the Alps. The Japanese bullies are portrayed wearing kimono and speaking broken Chinese. And a Chinese musician, Arhu player, finds common ground with Rina, a violinist. Violence is also portrayed very differently than Western animated cartoons, sometimes as broad slapstick, that the sort of things that we don't allow kids to see in movies. This movie is the first Chinese depiction I've ever seen of European kids interacting with Chinese kids in pre-1949 Shanghai. It gives a whole new perspective to what we've already seen, like Tintin's Blue Lotus, J.G. Ballard's Empire of the Sun, and some of the Indiana Jones movies where there's the Chinese kid with a baseball cap from Shanghai interacting with the Europeans or Americans. This movie is in Chinese with subtitles and is suitable for children. Next, Names of Love, Le Nom des Gens, directed by Michel Leclerc. Okay, in this movie, Baya, played by Sarah Forestier, is a beautiful, young, brash, and lively left-wing feminist who enjoys using her sexuality to bring right-wingers to her side of the fence. Baya, played by Sarah Forestier, is a beautiful, young, brash, and lively left-wing feminist who enjoys using her sexuality to bring right-wingers to her side of the fence. She says she always goes to bed on the first date, but she meets her opposite in the driest toast Arthur Martin, who shares his name with a ubiquitous, mundane line of cookware. He's a vet who only deals with dead birds. He's as bland and reserved as she is open, but somehow they end up together. So they're both assimilated French people of mixed background. She has a Muslim Algerian father, a worker, and a radical leftist mother, while his mother, who never talks about her past, was a Jewish girl hidden in a convent during the war and with an extremely uptight father. My description of the characters in this romantic comedy don't do justice to the humor and subtlety of this very charming movie. Its clever use of memory has Arthur's teenage self, as well as his imagined grandparents, whom he'd never met, appearing on the screen beside him, without explaining it, to offer comments on what he's doing wrong. While Baya's overt sexuality and indifference to her own nudity, with breasts casually falling out here and there, is sometimes taken to an extreme degree. This is a French comedy, after all, the home of gratuitous nudity only for its female roles. Her character, on the other hand, is very sweet and interesting and transcends the usual gags and situations. Will the two of them ever find common ground? Are their politics really opposed or compatible? And can their families approve of them? This is a great movie, a really good movie. And it's the Canadian premiere. You should try to see it. Next, Between Two Worlds, directed by Deborah Kaufman and Alan Snitow. This is a world premiere. The founders of the San Francisco Jewish Film Festival are pleased that they've inspired similar festivals all across the continent, and says Kaufman, the director, many people consider it one of their favorite Jewish holidays. But in recent years, due to some controversial programming, the festival itself has become embroiled in extremely divisive and politically mired fights between left and right-wing Jewish groups and individuals. To address this, they've made a personal documentary about these issues and the seemingly intractable divisions within their own families. The issues discussed in the film, including the positioning of the Holocaust and present-day issues, religious identity, right and left-wing viewpoints, censorship, lobbying, boycotts from both sides, and the Israel-Palestine issue above all, give airtime to advocates and activists from the various viewpoints on both sides, even when the differences seem unbridgeable. They also bring in some fascinating personal details from the filmmakers' own lives, including a religious divide within a family where somehow a secular right-wing Jewish patriarch ended up with religious Muslim grandchildren. This is being shown on Sunday, followed by a panel discussion moderated by the CBC's Michael Enright, and this sounds very interesting. I think this film is about the different sides and the controversial disputes, rather than the film itself being controversial, but apparently even Between Two Worlds has met with some opposition. You should view this movie yourself and make your own decision. Also playing this weekend for one show only at the Royal is Modra, directed by Ingrid Veninger, a touching, light, hyper-realist drama starring non-actors about a girl who travels from Toronto to Slovakia to visit her relatives there with a classmate pretending to be her boyfriend. I enjoyed this Canadian movie at last year's TIFF. Most of the movies I reviewed will be playing this weekend, so be sure to come see some unusually good pictures. The Toronto Jewish Film Festival runs until May 15th downtown and up north in North York and in Richmond Hill. Check online at tjff.ca. This is Daniel Garber, the movies, for CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturemining.com.